I'm from the University of Florida, working at strawberry molecular genetic and genomics. And so I joined the University of Florida strawberry breeding program about 4 years ago. And strawberry is tough. It's a small fruit, but when I joined there's no DNA sequencing information, it was really lots of things to do. And I work hard, and we have a lot of success story. Now the Florida strawberry industry, they are push up to us, let's do CRISPR. So this is something I brought just recently started about CRISPR gene editing strawberry and less than 2 years. And I want to talk what we've done so far and what should do in the future. So most of you here, the strawberry is allo-octoploid, one of the complicated genome. So this is a Fragaria ananassa. This is cultivated strawberry. They're naturally crossed by Chiloensis and Virginiana. And what are the target traits? What we are looking at these traits for new cultivar development. So there are two different sections. One is food quality. The other one is disease resistance. In Florida, the disease pressure is really high because weather is perfect and the humidity is high. And the Florida strawberries, every 100% is a winter strawberry. So winter is perfect time for everything, also for pathogen and pest. And this fruit quality, so the solid content is important, and flavor getting more and more important, and the fruit color is important, size and firmness, and we select everything. There's many important traits. For disease resistance, these top six, we have a total 8 disease problem, but these 6 are the currently we working for our breeding program. So how can you improve strawberry varieties? So the conventional breeding, that was what the UF started for breeding program, everything 100% conventional breeding. And last few years, we started add in the genomic assist breeding. So for the molecular, so what genomic assist breeding is what we say QTL discovery. So we do a lot of QTL discovery. And when you have a QTL information, what are you going to do? You have to use it. So we develop a marker, DNA marker, DNA test. And so that's what we call marker seeding selection. And if marker seeding selection is not suitable for breeding program, so for example, multigenic, the locus, the loci that control the traits, so you have to use genomic selection. So the QTL discovery in allo octoploid strawberry, the SNP, we use the SNP array. This is our hero. Actually, we did a lot of QTL identification. So first strawberry, the cultivated strawberry array was 90K array from the NALA is there. So that's the part of the Rosebreed project. We developed 90K SNP array from the VESCA deployed the reference genome. And so just a few months ago now, there's the UC Davis, Steve Knapp, and Michigan State University, the Patego group, they finally published first octoploid reference genome. So we developed 49K SNP array. It's not available yet, but will be available very soon. So this is the QTL, what we discovered the last 5 years. So when you look at the pink dots, that's all the fruit qualities. And the other, the blue circles, they are disease resistance. And the nice thing is many of the QTL we identified is a major locus. So this is really perfect for, we can use the develop DNA marker, and we can do marker assisted seeding selection. And so I'm not talking about the DNA marker and DNA test. That's actually one of my main projects, but I'm now moving on more called new plant breeding techniques. This is a new word, NPBTs. So there are several different types of the NPBTs, but technically there's anything, something new, plant breeding technology can be NPBTs. So the CRISPR is one of the most popular what we're using for this new plant breeding techniques. The other one is oligonucleotide directed mutagenesis. You can change the few base pairs. The other one is the cisgenesis. This is more the same species we can transfer, induce the genes. And the grafting, this is how the apple or the tree genetic, the breeding program, they're using it for peach, for disease resistance. And so the epigenetic method also, this is one of something the people are using for now. So what I highlighted, different color, that's what something we can use for strawberry breeding program in the future for cultivar development. So this CRISPR currently what we are using and developing system. So this, when you use the mono, use CRISPR technique, if you don't have any sequence information or reference genome sequence, you can really do that. So you really need the sequence information. This is how we just started for the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing strawberry. And right now, these are the older group, the reference genome sequence currently have, and the other is coming out for publication. And so Dr. Vance Whitaker, he's a UF strawberry breeder, and me, we are also doing the whole genome sequence. The Florida Brilliance is just, we just released last year. And so this old information is going to be used for the breeding program, not just in university, any public and private sectors. So the first thing is how you're going to apply CRISPR in strawberry. So the tissue culture, you need a tissue culture system. And tissue culture is not deployed, cultivated strawberry. The cultivar, you like it, but every cultivar is different. So tissue culture system we have to develop. Then when you have the tissue culture system, the next thing is what gene you're going to do. So have to clone the gene, or at least you need to have the good functional characterization of the pathway or genes. So example, these three things I picked up, maybe it's possible in the future nearby, if the first gene attitude is strawberry coming in the market, it can be this one, because this is the one of the most, the well-characterized pathway for flowering, the day neutrality. The other one is the fruit ripening and maturation and color changes. These are lots of publications coming out. So there's plenty of information can use for CRISPR target gene editing. So the other thing I'm interested in more like disease resistance. So I have a several projects. I'm looking at cloning genes, but it's not like a simple DNA sequence changes. It's a kind of insertion, deletion, and lots of things going on. So simple, just CRISPR knockout, probably not going to work. So, but it can be used for homologous recombination, mediated gene replacement, but currently this technique is very tough. Probably, we cannot use it right now. The other homologous direct repair, this is really good, something available in the future. You can actually use for this, the disease-resistant CRISPR. And the CRISPR delivery system, so I'm going to cover it later about this method, what method we need to use it so I can keep going. So this is optimization of tissue culture condition. So when you look at the table at the bottom, we test all different hormone combination and which one works better. And so we have three major, the latest strawberry cultivars, we test everything out, the light condition, hormone condition. It takes a long time, but once we set up, it's very powerful. We can use many things. And this is the tissue culture condition we optimize for brilliance. And we are not using patio. We use the runner tip. And so the reason why we use the runner tip is produce the colors induction very well. It produces lots of shoots. And from the beginning runner tip to all the way the plantlet, it takes about 3 to 4 months. And it works very well. We currently have set up all this system. And the other thing is CRISPR delivery system in the cultivated strawberry. So there are basically three different methods, agrobacterium mediated transformation, for DNA-free method, we use protoplast or gene gun we use. The reason we actually want to do more DNA-free method, so when we look at the strawberry, it's not the the inbreeding line, everything still varies by asexual propagation. So when you put in the Cas9 by agro, so you need to remove our Cas9. So that's what non-GMO. But once you remove Cas9, you need to back cross. So that means your breeding cycle is start again. So that's something different from tomato and all, any other the seed. Because every individual what our the cultivar is F1 hybrid. So even selfing is just segregating everything out. So that's why we, if we want to change something in our brilliance, we have to better to use the gene editing using the DNA-free method. So this is something we have to test if CRISPR, the Cas9 construct works well, or if something wrong, then we have to modify. So this is just the agrobacterium-mediated CRISPR we test. And we knock out the PDS gene, and then this is something, order the system, the moving out. So the transformation ratio is quite high, about 60-70%. The order way, and we can get actually the phenotype what we want is about 4-5%. It's pretty good. So we do the confirmation of the what target gene edited and by the amplicon seq. Then this is how you see all the different sequence deletions and the small base insertion. So this is something the CPF1 and Cas9 that they look like. So it works well. And so for this DNA-free method, what we test, we have to use optimize the gene gun, order these conditions. And this is the GFP signal. So you see we got almost like 200 to 300 GFP signal per plate. The transformation is really high. So that works well. And when you look at the PDS knockout, that's the initial shoot is coming out white. The problem what we have is we see the shooting is coming out is white. That's why we look at the PDS knockout. But they are not developing much. Their next stage is actually the dye. So there's something problem we have to deal with. And so what TRACH can be improved, CRISPR genome editing in strawberry. So one of these one is we have actually white strawberry population in our breeding program. And this is something for specialty market. And this is kind of segregating population we have. When we look at the white and the red ratio, it's kind of 1-to-1. So it looks like major locus is controlling by this color. And when we do GWAS 49K, the new SNP array, so we see the one major, the locus is coming out, chromosome 1. So this is what we look at, this candidate gene. That's the MIP10 transcription factor. So we already know the Spanish group, they found the promoter deletion, but we don't see that. But we see more in the coding region mutations. So when we look at the gene expression pattern, there's not much gene expression between white and red. So it looks like protein structure change, it changes color. So this is kind of example you can use CRISPR for this color change. And the powdery mildew, the MROs, we found several major QTRs there. This is only one, the resistant source we found. But the other resistant jumpers, the different powdery mildew, the control locus. So maybe genomic selection is better way. But at least the one resistant source, you can use CRISPR. And this is the all MROs we look at in Camarosa genome compared to VESCA. So they actually work very well. The VESCA is over 20, Camarosa is over 69. So we can look at what MRO is control this powder mildew resistance and knockout. So this is perfect example for recessive allele. We can use CRISPR for breeding program. The other one is arginine. So we sequence all arginine the octopus strawberry. So using the resistant gene enrichment sequencing called RANSeq. So we just submit the publication. And the number is about 2,000 arginines in octopus strawberry Camarosa. This is probe capture sequence by PacBio and Illumina. The reason why we do that, so this is all the disease problem. We have 17 our breeding association. We compare each other. So example one, the resistant association is for one disease works, but the other disease susceptible. So it's a kind of combination. When we look at the combined all information, and the R gene, the composition, we know that some R gene is a dominant effect, but the other R gene is a recessive effect. When you knock out those kind of recessive effect R gene, you can increase the resistance, certain level of. So as a breeding program, we don't want a complete immune. We need a certain level of tolerance. Okay, so this is the last few slides, and I have, if we cannot use CRISPR, if still European, they are considered about CRISPR GMO. So this is one thing we can use the soma clonal variation. This is not really new technique, but this main three vertebra we can actually improve using somatic variations. So the sensation has a problem. It's very good, very sweet, but the problem is plant is too big, and it's the shape that grows, they don't much like it. And this is a variation, what the somatic variation you can see in the field, the wild and the other one. And the fruit size, everything is same. The color actually a little better. And so this is actually the what the yellow plaque we put. This is a perfect size for the, actually the growth. They like it. And the reason that we need to make it compact and nice, the size of survey is a mechanical survey harvest that we are developing. It will be available next couple of years. And this is how the inside, you get the arm and the strawberry moving around, and then you can see the find the berries by laser detector. And then this is the puncher, and then there's a big wheel just keep coming, and then you can harvest strawberry. So that's why this is size of the plant, the material is very important, but breeding process takes a long time. But one thing, somatic variation is really, you can find something, it is very close to the commercialization. So, can I have one more minute? It's okay? Okay, just one more minute. So one thing this is very important is Radiant is really one of famous, our cultivar in the Spain and any other, the other old European countries. But the other problem is the Phytophthora disease problem. They're always asking us, can you increase the tolerance level of the Radiant? But it's not easy as a breeding cycle. But we actually now trying the soma clonal variation and increase the radiance is more tolerant to Phytophthora, the crown rot. And now this year we're making the 1,000 soma clones and we're going to test in the field. So we confirm soma clonal variation, actually all the conditions we found, it works pretty well. So we're going to all the tests in the field, and if something we see the level of tolerance level is higher, we're going to increase the more numbers. Then 2 more years, we can actually plant the commercial feed side by side. Okay, thank you very much. And this is all our team. And Vance and me, we are really good partner and two different programs as one, the team. And that's how the UF survey breeding getting very successful story. So thank you very much. And do any questions?